Just go from the Gemara and Kuf Dalet and Aleph, at that 10 lines from the bottom, the Gemara starts to hold, I got it to commenting on the first few psukim in Megillah Seicha, in Sefer Eicha. So the Medrash on Eicha has, the Medrash has on the whole Sefer Eicha, here the Gemara just says on the first few psukim. So the Gemara first has a comment, why does it say Eicha, Yoshua Vador? Should be written Eich. Echo is a strange construction of the word. Ech Yoshua Bodod. The Gemara says, because the word Echo is a gematria of 36. Chof and Yud is 30, and Hey and Gold is 6. The gematria 36, the reason why they were punished so much, because they violated all the lamas of creatures, some words, but the Gemara has a comment that the first, in Echo there are 5 prophets. The first 4 prophets of Echa, those according to the Alephet. So this parish is not at all, nothing to do at all with the Alephet. But the first 4 prophets are based on the Alephet. The Gemara says, what does that represent? That say, my local the Alephet, why is Echa written out to say the Alephet? Because they violated the parish and written by Alephet. Then the Gemara comments on the base, it's not exactly out the Alephet. In those 4 prophets, the first 4 prophets of Echa, everything is up the alibis, so 3 out of the 4 prokim have the letters Tay and I in reverse. Normally it should be Nemnon, Samach, I and Tay, so I should precede Tay. So in the first chapter in Echa, the first chapter in Echa, the I and precedes the Tay. The second, the third, and the fourth, it's out of order. So the Gemara says, why is that so? First of all, I see him. That's 15 lines from the bottom of Kuf Dalet on the base. How come that's out of order? We just said that it's supposed to be off the Aleph base. Now all of a sudden the letters I and the Tay are out of order. So the answer is that the Tay represents the Tay, the mouth, and the Ayin represents the eye. And the whole Churban Beis HaMikdash was because of the Chet HaMeraglim. That's why it must be Bochot Tikka Balayla, Balayla. Because of the Chet HaMeraglim, that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. In the Chumash it's not that clear, but the Nitziv in the commentary on Chumash points out that in Tehillim, in Yecheskel, it says Mefurish like that. That on the occasion of the Chet Egel, the Baruch Shalom already decided then and there that he's going to be Machlis in Beis HaMikdash and he's going to send the Eden into Golis. So that's what we discussed on different times. The Baruch Shalom HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, he already knew that it was up to the Nehechar. He already heard from the Nebuah in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. And he said the Ruach HaKodesh was going to be whether the second Beis HaMikdash would last. So that also would be up to the Nehechar. He said, "Beruach Hakodesh and Chaimah, he lives in Aleha Kiras Kesef, and Delasi Lasot Naso Aleha Ruach Haaretz." It is more in Yuma, at the end of the first paragraph, understands in Chaimah to determine whether the Baisheni would be the ultimate Bais, or it would also be Asid Lei Haaretz. And the Aluk HaChaimah is when I'll have a shoes to go back Shivat Zion after the golden bubble of 70 years. If everybody will leave bubble, will go back to Eretz Yisrael, then says Nivna Aleha Kiras Kesef, and the second Beis HaMikdash will be like Nate from Nepal, Shein HaRekat Sholid Bo, it will not rot. Whereas in Delisi Nosra Aleha Luach Haaretz, if it will be a Shvach Aliyah, then it will be like a wooden bungalow, like a wooden hut. So HaRekat Sholid Bo, that wood can rot away. So that's what the writer writes in Perek Vav, in Ochot Seis HaPtira, when Ezra built the second Beis HaMikdash, he already knew Yadeh HaYa Ezra, She'asid Lehi Haaretz, just like Yadeh HaYa Shloimai. And Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash he already knew from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, from the days of the Meraglim, that was also in Lehechoret. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu told him in his word on the occasion of the Meraglim. That's how the Gemara tells it. Bochot Tizke Balayla. They cry, Bochot Tizke twice. Shtei Bechinus Halol Olam. And here's the Gemara, 20 lines from the top of Kuf Dalet Amud Beis. Why did he say Bochot Tizke? Shtei Bechinus Halol Olam. One goes on Churban Bayis Yish and one goes on Churban Mikdash Sheni. The Churban Bayis Rishon, the Churban Bayis Sheni, everything is the punishment because of the Chet HaMeraglim. If not for the Chet HaMeraglim, so they would have entered Eretz Yisrael and would have been everything. Moshe Rabbeinu would have been alive and they would have built the Beis HaMikdash and whatever Moshe Rabbeinu was involved in has a kiyum la'olam ul'olam ul'olam. So the Beis HaMikdash would never have mechorim in the Eretz Yisrael. The Medina would not be chorim because the Ribono Shel Olam wanted to punish them because of the Chesed and Ragun. He decided that Moshe Rabbeinu can't enter Eretz Yisrael and the Beis HaMikdash will be osi le'chorim and so on. So that's what the Gemara comments. How come the ayin and the pei are out of order? The whole Eichor, the first four prophets are the Alephes, and the first pair, first chapter in Eichor, everything is out the Alephes, and the second, the third, and the fourth prophet, the ayin is the reverse of the pei. So the Gemara says the reason why is because the Gimu, Omru, the Sihe Mashal Arobi Einenim. They said the Rabbin said the Gelet, but they didn't see with their own eyes. Normally you have to first see with your eyes. And then you say, oh, well, what you saw with your eyes. Here the Meraglim will say, how dangerous it is, how risky it is if the Jews will come into Eretz Yisrael, the Rumatolim will wipe them out, there's no chance. You don't stand the chance to win the war. They didn't see any of that. This is all conjecture. But because they were shooting off their mouth, Omer B'Sihem, Mashallah, Ro, B'Aneim, so that's why, that's what caused the whole problem. To be Meraglim on that they said B'Sihem, Mashallah, Ro, B'Aneim, so that's why the second, the third, the fourth prophet in Echor have the pay before the eye, have it out of order to allude to this problem. To this, that was the cause of the whole trouble because of the Chet HaMarani. Then the Gemara continues on Kuzal and on. One continues to Darsh and all the Tzukim. Echor Yoshua Badod. Badod, in Hebrew, the word in English, the two words, one word is alone and one word is lonely. One is, a person is alone, he has Ein Daim Aloch. A person is a super genius, the biggest tzaddik in the world, the biggest Talmud Chacham in the world. But he's all alone, there's nobody in his category, but he's not lonely. If you say a person is lonely, that's Nebuchadnezzar Rachmanis, he's lonely. So the Ribbono Shel Olam gemein, the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted Vayishkan Yisrael Betach Bodod Ein Yaakov, the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted Bnei Yisrael should be Bodod, should be the one and only Aman Yitzchar, all alone, but not to be lonely, not to be sobbing and crying over the fact that they're alone. No, they'll be happy over the fact that they're alone. And because of the fact that the name is called sin, so that's why it says, Echor Yoshua Badod, is a different kind of Badod. It wasn't the Badod that the Ribbono Shel Olam intended. It's a different kind of Badod. It's a Badod Ligriyuso, not a Badod Limalyuso. Then it was Darshan more, all the Tzukim. Hoyso Ki Almona. It says, Bnei Yisrael were not an Almana. Almana means that the husband is dead, and the woman can be married. So Bnei Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, Bnei Yisrael have a relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam like a marriage, and Eretz Yisrael with the Knesset Yisrael have a relationship like a marriage. So Bnei Yisrael are the husband, with it, the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Ribbono Shel Olam is the husband, Bnei Yisrael are the wife. The relationship between Knesset Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, so we consider that the Bnei Yisrael is just there, the husband, and Eretz Yisrael is the wife. It is to say Eretz Yisrael is like an almana, not a real almana. A real almana is goodbye. So there's no more than Ishus and Tzaka. So any other nation can decide to take over Eretz Yisrael. The Ribbono Shel Olam didn't let. It's the almana, like Ishus Shalat Bailam and Dinah Tanya, but Daita Lachtere Leho. So the Mephoshim points out in both senses, both with respect to the relationship between the Ribbono Shel Olam and Knesset Yisrael. It's not that the Ribbono Shel Olam canceled all of his shaykhs with income. No, we're still married. He went on vacation. He went away without us. Okay. A good husband takes his wife on vacation and he goes to Florida. And the Ribbono Shel Olam is angry at us. He went on vacation. He's punishing us. He left us behind. But he didn't sever the relationship. So he's still chayiv. Abal chayiv in the Zaynus Ish. He's still chayiv to take care of us. Still chayiv in the Zaynus. He's still chayiv in Sus. He's still chayiv in Rafua. All the Shibudi Habal Ish. They still apply. So the Ribbono Shel Olam takes care of the Knesset Yisrael. Even when he's punishing us, as with the first distinction, Hosea Kalmana, Rabati Bagoyi. The next line of the Gemara, the second line from the bottom of Kuv Dalim and up. The Gemara comments, Rabati Bagoyi, Sarosi Bamdinus. What do you mean, Sarosi Bamdinus? Wherever the Jews go, the left line on the Omer. The Homok and Shemhok, Nas and Son, Mazane. Wherever the Jews go into Golus, they always become vice presidents of the country and the prime ministers of the country. Like the Ramban HaChomish writes, my job is in the Ramban, and the fact that Jesus became the Prime Minister of Egypt, that was a sin that throughout the history of the Jewish people, in every Golus that they went, the Jews usually did very well, and they went to the top of the society, and they were running the government, and that's what caused all the Canaan and sin. Okay. but that was the Ribbono Shel Olam still felt an obligation to take care of Knesset Yisrael. So that's why it says, not an Almana Mamish. An Almana Mamish, the husband is no longer mobile, so the wife has no longer any shibudim. It's Ki Almana. There still is a relationship. The first one there didn't sever his ties with the Jewish people. That's how the Gemara quotes on Kufayim and Aleph. The Bnei Yisrael, about 15, 20 lines from the top. The Rabbi tells Bnei Yisrael they should be chosen to tshuva. Most quoting from Zechariah, chapter Aleph, Teres Aleph. The Rabbi tells Bnei Yisrael, shuva elayba, shuva alechem, Bnei Yisrael should do tshuva. They say, what do you mean do tshuva? The Rabbi Shlolon destroyed the first place on Yiddush. It's goodbye. It's like, we are no longer the Amham. We are no longer the Chuyuz, to be Tera Mitzvah. So that's what they said. Evich and Mechara Rabbi. Either the Bnei Yisrael are like Bodim or like Avodim. Either one or the other. So they say, if the Rabbi Shlom considers us like an Eved, obviously he told us from the Book of Netzah. He let the Book of Netzah destroy the Beit HaMikdash and capture all the Jewish people. So Evich and Mechara Rabbi, if the Avodim sold his Eved to someone else, so the Avodim, who used to belong to the first Avodim, I'm no longer mechuyev to give to his tool, and mechuyev now to serve the second order. So what do we have to heat up the Yiddish religion for? The Baruch Shalom gave it over to the Nebuchadnezzar, so we have to work for the Nebuchadnezzar. We don't have to keep the Torah mitzvahs anymore. So that's what the Bnei Yisrael said. Why should we do tshuva? What do you mean? The religion is no longer binding. Or, if we're nikru banim, not nikru avadim, why are we nikru banim? Because of the relationship like the Tanakh describes the Bnei Yisrael as achoyti, as a sister, as a wife, as a daughter, as a, all of the expressions, all of the Lashonis have treated together. So that's the Gemara says, Yikru Nikru Avodin, Yizman Shemesh, Mitzvah Shomokim. The Gemara has a Machlokes Tanoim, in Kiddushin, the end of the first parak, whether Yizman Shemesh, Mitzvah Shomokim, the Nikru Avodin, Yizman Shemesh, Mitzvah Shomokim, are they Nikru Avodin, are they not Nikru Avodin? It's a question. They hear that, that's what they say. The Rebbe Shlom sold us into captivity, says, Ein Eretz Mitzvah Shomokim, obviously, we see. The equal, like Avod Musa, he sold us. Evish and Mechara Rabbi. So there's no longer any claim. The Adon, the original Adon, can't have any more claim. And if we're still Nikru Banim, why? We're not Nikru Avodim. Why? Because it's still the lovey-dovey relationship, like a husband and a wife, like a daughter, like a son, like a, all those Lashonis, Vayasi, etc. Yeah, but the Rabbanu Shlom divorced us. So if the husband divorced his wife, so what if he have kindness later on that he wants the wife? He divorced his wife. So the Rebbe Shlom got rid of us. He sent us into Golda's Zavar. So that's what the Navi responds. The Gemara says that this is what Bnei Yisrael said to Zechariah. Zechariah only calls upon them, they should be chizu the tshuva. So they said to him, what kind of chizu the tshuva? Ever shem mechor rabbi, this you should give Shabbat, the full yesh lo zeh al zeh klum. What kindness can the first husband have? He divorced her. So the Gemara responds, it's not all from the same Navi. The Gemara says that this was the conversation back and forth. Rav Shlom answers back like, "Dei Hanavi, what do you mean? I never divorced Knesset Yisrael, and I never told them. Ezer Sefer Kriyas Simcha Masher Shelach Tira. I never divorced them. If you want to view the relationship with the Rav Shlom as one of a marriage, he says, I sent you into Golos. I left temporarily, but I never gave a gift. They're still married. She's not a real Amana. She's not a real Dusha. It's like the Ki Almana, like the husband went to Medina Salam, but he's going to come back. The relationship is still there. And if you want to view your status as Avadim, also, I never gave you over to, I never sold you to Nebuchadnezzar. I still own you as my Avadim. Limina Shashem Achati El Kumlo. You sinned, and because of your errors, that's why you were punished, but I never gave over the violence to Nebuchadnezzar. The Gemara has another comment. In Tanakh, we find David Abdi. The expression appears David Abdi. David was an Eved Hashem. It's a beautiful description of David HaMelech. But then you have Nebuchadnezzar Abdi. Nebuchadnezzar also Eved Hashem. Well, Nebuchadnezzar was an apicurus. What kind of a lotion Nebuchadnezzar Abdi? So the Gemara says, what kind of a lotion is that? The Gemara says, I'm Domer Shlok, Ishmaitis, in the middle of Kutev and Allah. The Gemara says, what kind of a lotion is that Nebuchadnezzar Abdi? David Abdi, I understand. It's a beautiful expression. But Nebuchadnezzar Abdi, so the Gemara says that the Baruch Shalom wrote this lashon into Tanakh, into Yirmiyah. Nebuchadnezzar Abdi, because he knew that Bnei Yisrael were going to advance this Taina, then Evich, Mechara Rabbi, if the Adon sold the Evich to someone else, he did a Baruch Shalom gave us over to Nebuchadnezzar. He let Nebuchadnezzar take us away, so we no longer are mishuv at anything to the Baruch Shalom. We don't have to keep the religion anymore. So what does he want from us, Chizu the Tshuva? What does he want? The Baruch Shalom says, what are you talking about? Nebuchadnezzar is Achmaina on Eved. Call Mashikar Eved, call a rabbi.
When I take my B'nai Yisrael and I give him to Nebuchadnezzar, like taking to my right hand, putting in my left hand, you still belong to me. You belong to Nebuchadnezzar and he belongs to me. So you still are Avadim to the Baruch Shalom. That's how the Gemara suggests. So this is on the one level, the Pasuk says, Haisa Ki Almana, on the bottom of Kuv Dalabana. On the one level, it's referring to the relationship between Knesset Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is one, in Shirashir and another place in Tanakh is described like a marriage. So the marriage is still Kayot. So the Baruch Shalom never gave a guest in Mishkin Almana. It's just Ki Almana, like the Halach Bailan of Dina Sayyam is coming back, and that's why the prophet says, Sarasi Bamdina, so the Baruch Shalom is still Mechuyot to take care of us. That's why he sees to it from Mokhim Shemokh and Nasim Sar Madanim. He even always do well. Even during the years of Galut, he even do well. And on the other level, that the relationship between B'nai Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael is one of a marriage, that Eretz Yisrael is like the wife and B'nai Yisrael is like the husband. But also, when he even left into Galut, it's not the Eretz Yisrael is now up for grabs and whoever wants can take it. No. It's Ki Almana that the B'nai Yisrael are going to come back. And Eretz Yisrael is a good wife, and she doesn't let herself be taken over by the other nations of the world. So the Rashi points out on Chumash at the end of the Teichach in the Chukaitai, that it says, Yishamamu Alehu Aivechem. So the Rashi quotes from the Medrash, Yishamamu Alehu Aivechem, that this is a Psura Teichachim in Yisrael. That the Pasuk says, there's going to be a Chud Meich HaMikdosh and a Chud HaMedina, and all the Yidin are going to be killed, and terrible, terrible, terrible. That the enemy is going to be, the land is going to be desolate. So Rashi says, yeah, Rashi quotes in the Medrash, but this line is about a Surah Tayyibah to the B'nai Yisrael. That all the years after the Churban Bayis Sheni, that the Eden weren't there, nothing grew. All the years that it was under the Turks, and under the British, and under the Christians, and under the... Yeah, nothing developed, nothing grew. Until he even took it back, and later, in the recent years, in the last 100 years, everything was growing again. And now that the Goyim took back certain parts of Israel, they were by the Eden, so by the nothing is growing over there. Nothing is growing there. Called my letters by the Eden, everything flows. Even if not by the Eden, isn't it? Because it's always like a good wife. She knows she's only connected with the B'nai Yisrael. She has no connection with any other nation. So those are the two levels of Ki Almana Olei Almana Mamish. There never was a Gerushin. That between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, and that between B'nai Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. The relationship is still present. Some of the Chidor in his commentary on Yankir, not over here, I think it's at the end of Sudas, he quotes from the Mekubalim, what is the concept of Golus HaShechina supposed to represent? The Gemara quotes different Sufim, from up to Shigol Yisrael, Golus HaShechina, whatever the Eden went into Golus, so the Shechina went along into Golus. What is that all about Golus HaShechina? So he quotes the Gemara Makkas, but the Gemara says, Talmud Shigola, Madlin Lerabba Yimus, when the Talmud kills the Shegeg, and he has to go into the Ari Miklot, so the Pasuk says, you're not supposed to punish him that he should suffer the hechlet, to suffer largely on the alone. No, it says v'chaisham. What is he v'choy? It's supposed to be pleasant living there. You're supposed to have whatever people enjoy, libraries and shopping malls and theaters and whatever people would enjoy. You have to have a daf yomi shir in Ori Miklot. If the Talmud has a Rebbe, a favorite Rebbe, you have to send the Rebbe there to give a shiur for the Talmud also. It doesn't mean if the Rebbe has 100 Talmidim there, and one Talmud goes into a Mikvah, so you neglect this 99 and you send the Rebbe. It means that, let's say, if he was a private Rebbe, you have to give him a private shiur, and now he goes into the Ari Mikvah, and he wants, and the Talmud, even the Ari Mikvah, wants to do the private shiur, and the Rebbe is not interested. Why does he have to go travel to the Ari Mikvah? Because Allah says he's supposed to go. Not to Lachato and Ha'el, Lachai. So the Gemara says you have to see to it that he has a chiyuv, that he should enjoy living there. So the Chidor quotes from the Mekubalim that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent the B'nai Yisrael into Golus, it's the same kind of a Golus. It's a punishment. Like the Ari Miklot is a Golus, it's a punishment. But it's not supposed to be such a punishment to Hechlet. He should suffer and suffer and suffer. No, he wants us to do well in the Golus. the choy. So as Magdalene the Rabbi even said, the Shekhinah goes along with us, and he's holding our hand, and he sees to it that we become vice presidents and viceroys and prime ministers, and the Jews are running all the economy and everything, and newspapers and everything. They're in control of everything in the world. So that's what the Gemara says over here. Come up from Shehem Holkim, wherever the Jews go into Golos, not from Sturm Ladene. That's what he means, Sarosh Adambina. When they go into Golos, the Baruch Shalom wants that they should enjoy it. They shouldn't be absolutely miserable. I don't think so. That doesn't appear in the Gemara. Unless the Rebbe needs the Talmud in order to say a shir. He needs someone to bounce to the Shepherd of it. So find somebody there already in the Gemara. I don't think so. Just doesn't. He lives in his home. Some say there's a little boy who lives in his home. That's what they have in the biography book. They quote the some say there's a famous the Bracha said his own Stigl Tair. So the Stigl Tair was, he said over something from the Elfi Zeta, from the Marsha Shach, and the Tais Yeshua, so the Tais Yeshua, I don't know. And then he shrugged it up. So his father, some say his father was a Balabar, a Sumi Balabar. And you dare say that he didn't know who's right. So he slapped him in public and he said, how do you have the chutzpah to disagree with the Elfi Zeta? A little kid, 13 years old, says a Stigl Tair, says a Stigl Tair from Elfi Zeta, and he plugged it up. So the Rav Nachman Adler said to him, why did you slap him? He knows what he's talking about. The Elfi Zeta is wrong and the little boy is right. So he told the Amoshe Tzadik, he told him he should move out of his father's home. Because every time he's going to want to say a Stigl Tair, the father's going to get angry. He's going to ask a kash on the Rambam, so the father's going to slap him. How do you have the right to ask him? I'm going to ask a Shver Gemara, the father's going to slap him. He's not allowed to ask any kashes, he's not allowed to say a Stigl Tair. So he was afraid, and not Nathan was afraid, he's going to kill the father, he's going to kill the some place of his son's incentive to learn. You have to have a little chutzpah when you learn, you have to have a little goal. When people learn, they have to have a little chutzpah to push, that's what the halacha requires, in order to push, in order to discover new insight. And then when the person discovers some new insight, he should realize that he's learning Torah, you're learning about the Rabbanu Shalom. So once the person discovers some new insight, it means he's coming closer to the Rabbanu Shel Olam. When you come closer, then you have to recoil, like it says in Rashi, said, "Vayasa Moshe Panav Yarei Mehabita Hu Elokim." When you realize that you're in the presence of the Rabbanu Shel Olam, so you have to be nichna, you have to have humility. So when a person first learns, is first learning, he has to learn with a little bit of shtolkat, with a little bit of guidance. He has to have a little chutzpah. An arrogance to think that he may succeed in discovering something. And then when he realizes that he did discover something, then he has to step back with humility. He just discovered new secrets about the Rabbanu Shel Olam. He's vanishing the presence of the Rabbanu Shel Olam. So Rav Nachman Adler was afraid. The father's not going to let the son develop. He's going to keep on feeding at him. He told him he should move out of the father's home and move into his home. He had a daughter. He wasn't, his daughter didn't marry the son. Sunday they were not the same age. It wasn't that he wanted him to move in because he had his eye on him to marry his daughter. His daughter married someone else. He married someone else. Then the Gemara tells the same story. Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara goes the first 20 lines on the base. Such a bizarre story that at the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni, that one of the Nochrim captured two Yidden. So the captor overhears where the two Yidden are talking to each other, and one of them says that the camel that's going in front of us is blind on one eye, and the two people who are going with the camel, one of them is a Yid, one of them is a guy, and he says the one on the left side, whatever, and says one of them is a Yid, he tells you which side, and the other one is a guy. So the captor looks at them and says, "You guys are crazy. What are you making up of my feet? Camel is blind on one eye. How do they know what they're talking about?" So they explained to him why. They both explained to him why. Because the camel only kept on nibbling from the food on the side of the road. Only nibbled from one side of the road, didn't nibble from the other side. So obviously he's blind on one eye. So it only sees food on this side, doesn't see the food on the other side. So it only eats the food that it can see. And then how do they know that there are two people who are taking care of the camel? One is the Yid, one is the Goy. Because they saw there was Merak Lime Shel HaCamel. That was in the middle of the road. And then there's Merak Lime of a human being also on one side of the road. Every couple of miles they saw human Merak Lime. And then on the other side, they didn't see the Ner Aglaim of the human being were far away. So they assumed it must be that the Nochri, on one side there was a Nochri who was going with the camel and he was not embarrassed. And he was in Mata Ner Aglaim right in the middle of the street, same place that the camel was. And the Yid was Sanuah, so he was in Mata Ner Aglaim far away from the road. Then they said there are two barrels on either side of the camel. One barrel has oil and one barrel has wine. Well, they're making up stories. It turned out that that's exactly what it was. He chased after them and he saw that's exactly one of the Yid, one of the goats, why not one eye? How do they know that it's going to be that one barrel on the side of the camel is oil and one barrel on the other side of the camel is wine? Because they saw that there were leaks. They were dripping the whole way. And the oil was on the surface of the ground. And the oil rises to the top. And the wine dripped in, and it sank in into the mud, into the dirt. So the Gemara says that he was so spoiled that he took them as his captor after the time of Golden by Shani, and then he saw these guys are super geniuses, that he caught this pilot. So what does the Gemara say? Rada Fakarem, about 15 lines from the top of Amud Beis, they have to tell the whole story. Rada Fakarem, the Nochri chased after the camel in front of them, a few miles ahead. And he saw exactly as the two Yidden said, that's what it was. He came back and he kissed them both on the head, and Shokham al Roshan, and he made a party for them, and he said, blessed be HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he has an Amma Mikha, the Klal Yisrael, they're different from all the other women of Islam, and he has super intelligence, and he gave the Klal Yisrael his Chachma, the Cholot Mechachmasa, the Yireya, more so than to the women of Islam. That's what the Nachi said. Whenever they're taken into captivity, you see they always go to the top, to the head of the cliff, and they're always the brightest and so on. And he released them, even though he took them as slaves. He had captured them to keep them as slaves. He decided he can't keep these two guys as slaves. They're super geniuses. They send them back home. Then the Gemara comments on the second part of the Ganecha, Bocha Tzitzke Balaylu, we spoke already, Bocha Tzitzke, the Tzitzke for you. And Balaylu, Bocha Tzitzke Balaylu, because of the Laila, the Tzitzke of the Kudmeh HaMikdash, is because of the Tzitzke of Tzitzke Kaleidu, the Yitzhak Kulam, is Kulam, the Yitzhru Ha'am, Balaylu, how because of the Tzitzke on the occasion of the Miraga. The Gemara has other interpretations, what does it mean, Balaylu? Different drushes on the Balaylu. The Gemara tells a story that in the daytime it's very noisy. Nighttime is nice and quiet, so when you hear somebody cry at night, you can hear it better. One of the suggestions is Balaylu. People will cry along with you. They tell a story about Rabbi Gamliel, that one of his neighbors lost her son, and she was crying at night, and Rabbi Gamliel heard her crying, so he started crying also till the hairs on his eyelids, Liseyenov, fell off because he was crying so much. So when the Talmidim the next day realized that Rabbi Gamliel was crying all night long because he heard the neighbor crying, so they pressured the neighbor she should move out of the neighborhood, she shouldn't keep Rabbi Gamliel up all night, staggerate him, he won't be able to prepare the shiur, he won't be able to say the shiur. So that's what Rabbi Soloveitchik said, that during the history of the Klal Yisrael, sometimes the Jews would cry Balaila, and others would cry along with them. Sometimes. When the Jews would cry, others would cry with them. Kalabecha Balaila, Hashemel Kalabecha Kinegda, others cry along, like Rabbi Gamliel cried along. And sometimes, the Gemara says, sometimes Balaila, the Kachabim and Mazalot are crying along, that's all. The other nations of the world are not crying along. The heavens are crying with us. That's the bad one. But he commented in the middle of the Second World War, he was such a rush. He said, no one's crying along with him. Just, Shemaim, HaKechavah HaMazolot HaBechim. This time it wasn't the Tchina Balaila, Kala Shemeh Kala Balaila Becha Kenegda. No one is crying with us. Different cultures in the history of the Klal Yisrael. The Nimbar has a comment on the Tosfos and Eicha also, Lo Aleichem Kol Oivrei Derech. He used that expression, Lo Aleichem. So he died at a young age, Lo Aleichem.
someone got cancer loyale. What kind of a lashon is that loyale? You should not, you should chalila not suffer from such a sickness like that person has. If it takes it, you should suffer. It sounds as if it's some kind of a nichush. That because I said somebody died from cancer, someone lost his wealth, or he lost his job, or whatever, because I said it to you, as if it's going to be a bad omen for you, so I have to say, Lo Yalechem, so it shouldn't happen to you. So that's, Rashi has different interpretations of it. So one interpretation Rashi says is, Eim o mishum nichus. Gemara is learning out in this topic, that although it seems a little bit to be nichush, what am I worried about? Just because I say, so the guy died from cancer, so what does it have to do with you? What do I have to say, present company excluded? What do I have to add on, Lo Yalechem? You see from the pasuk in Tanakh that that's not a violation of nichus. That's people talk like that. And it's not an issue. You call the kublanam in hatur. That's one of the three shatim that Rashi has. Kublanam means that it's not an issue nichus. Rashi has other shatim. That's one of the shatim. That it's not an issue nichus. Then the Gemara quotes the pasuk and Eicha also. Vayikat alavon basami mechatas sedon. That the avera that Klal Yisrael did at the time of the Churban Habayit was worse than Sodom. Wait a minute, he was worse than Sodom? So the Gemara asks on the third wide line, if he must have punished Yesh Vedova, so how come he wasn't punished more than Sodom? The Rabbi Shalom played favoritism. Even though the Jews did more than Sodom, but we are the favorite nation, we're the Yamanim, because he lets us get away with the Rabbi Shalom. So the Gemara says, no, he did say the heart of Yerushalayim, shall the heart of his son. No, there's still a difference. So what do you mean there's still a difference? Rashi has two shatim over here. One shatim Rashi is, the avera that we did was worse than Sodom, but on the other hand, the evil of Rahman and Baishanim Gamal Chasadim had made a favor. Sodom was miserable. All the averas that he did were terrible. We did often the same averas. But we weren't miserable like them. And Sodom, because they were miserable, so that's why they were punished more than us. That's the one shat that Rashi interprets in the Gemara. And Rashi gives a different shot in Gemara that is Bakir. That the question was if the Yidin sinned, if their sin was greater than Sodom, the sin was greater than Sodom, so the question is if Atapanam Yesh Badova, how come we were not punished a greater punishment than Sodom? So the answer is we were punished greater than Sodom. That by Sodom, you don't find that they were eating their children? What does Gemara say? And it was a terrible punishment. That punishment didn't have a sound by Sodom, because by B'nai Yisrael, on the occasion of the Churban Habayit, they sinned to an extent that was worse than Sodom. Rashi has two shortcuts in what the answer. The question of the Gemara was if the Aveira was greater than Sodom, Mechata Sodom, if the Aveira of the B'nai Yisrael was worse than Sodom, why weren't they punished greater than Sodom? So the Rashi has two interpretations of what the answer was. Whether we had needed service that offset it, so that's why we didn't deserve such a great punishment. In fact, we were punished worse than Sodom. And the Gemara says, much of the suffering that Bnei Yisrael had, the Gemara quotes the pasuk in Tehillim. Ochli am yochlu lechem, Hashem lo karo. Those who were eating up the Jewish people, the enemies of the Yidden, who were causing us their grief and suffering, so they were eating us up. Of the lechem, the Gemara has an interpretation. Pasuk shat means that they were eating up the Jews, they were killing the Jews, like one living said. The Gemara has an interpretation that only Asian bread is the most delicious, and only the Yid know how to bake delicious bread. The Goyim know how to bake delicious bread. So the Goyim, when they want to have a tam of lechem, so lechem, they lach mishay yisrael, train tam lechem. Ain't lechem, lach mishay yisrael, ain't a tam. Real tam lechem is only if it's baked by Yid. That's an additional interpretation. But anyway, the pasuk in Tehillim, chapter Yudalit, is about 10 lines from the bottom of Kufdalit Beis. The Gemara quotes the pasuk, which is describing the Umas Ha'olam causing suffering to the Bnei Yisrael. So it says, what caused all of this? Because Hashem lo karo, because the Yid didn't not call upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does that refer to? Hashem lo karo. It's all our fault. The punishment is all our fault because Hashem lo karo. What does that refer to? Hashem lo karo. So the Gemara has two pshatim. Rav ama elu adayonim, ishmo lama elu milam dikinoitim. So the Gemara has the two suggestions. One suggestion is it refers to the dayonim. The dayonim are supposed to be God-fearing people. They're supposed to give a mishpatem. It's not supposed to be ma'avot et hadir.
Because the Dayanim were the Rabbanim were Hashem Mokaro. They would have full Dinei Torah. They didn't care what the Ribbono Shel Olam had to say. Everything was based on politics. So that's why the Ribbono Shel Olam brought upon us the Chuz. The other interpretation anymore has Hashem Lo Karo refers to the Malam Nisei Noikin. People are teaching Torah, supposed to realize what the serious responsibility it is that they have. And Rashi refers you to the Pasuk. The Gemara Bava Basra quotes that Pasuk. Oros and Malach HaShem Amir. The Gemara says in the second paragraph of Bava Basra that they, a different thing. The Gemara has a pasuk that says, "Re'ena sati etchem, re'eli marti etchem chukim mishpatim, kasher tivani Hashem alokoy." Moshe Rabbeinu says, "I taught you the Torah, kasher tivani Hashem alokoy." So the pasuk pshat is, as Hashem commanded me to teach you the Torah, that's what I did. As instructed, I taught the Torah to Bnei Yisrael. That's the pasuk pshat. The Gemara has in Chorus and Kiddushin and other Mitzvot. The Gemara has an additional level of interpretation. I taught you the Torah in the same way the Ribbono Shel Olam taught me the Torah. Not I taught you the Torah as commanded by Hashem. I taught you the Torah the same way the Ribbono Shel Olam taught me. Just like the Ribbono Shel Olam when I was in Har Sinai. He didn't charge me any Shkar Limud. There was no tuition charge when Moshe Rabbeinu was learning the Torah. So too when Moshe Rabbeinu teaches Bnei Yisrael, he's teaching the Chinam, and he's mentioning this, I didn't have to pay Skalima to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and you didn't have to pay me Skalima when I taught you. What is he driving at? That's the Din L'Zeret. Whenever a Rebbe transmits the Torah to the Talmid, he's not allowed to charge Skalima. So the Gemara asks in the Dorim, but the Mishnah implies clearly that when the Rebbe, when the Malama teaches little children in Cheder, they do charge Skalima. It's talk about a person took a neder, not to get Hanoi from the Malamed, and then the Malamed teaches his children the Chinam. So if the Malamed is teaching his children the Chinam, so the Mishnah says he's getting Hanoi, because normally the Malamed used to take salary. He used to take a serious. And the Mishnah says the fairy says you're allowed to take serious the teaching Torah should have stopped. See, Malamdo Talmud, you're allowed to teach him Torah Shabbat there, because you're not allowed to take any Chab. But Torah Shabbat, you do charge for that. So the Gemara says, what's the head to the charge for teaching Torah Shabbat? So the Gemara has the two suggestions. The Gemara has one suggestion that, whom do you teach Chumash to? Little children. Once the children are older, they start teaching Mishnayot. And then they're older, they teach Gemara. So you're teaching Chumash to little children, so the Malamed is entitled to a salary because he's a babysitter. In addition to being a Malamed, he's also a babysitter. Schar Shmirah. He has to make sure that the children don't fool around. They don't run away. So that every Malamed, Tinoikis, little children is allowed to take the salary because of Schar Shmirah. The Gemara has another suggestion. Maybe it's not so much Schar Shmirah. Maybe it's Schar Tisat Tanakh. Because Zmana Tanakh, when they taught Zmana Talmud, when he used to teach Tanakh, he used to teach with the truck. You teach with the trup, and the Gemara has a machlokes in the Gemara of Lamechet, where the trup is a din deraita, a trup is a din derabbanan. So the Gemara says this trup is a din deraita. That's a weird thing. The Gemara quotes the pasuk in Ezra, Mefirash v'sum secha. And when Ezra was learning Kriyas HaTorah, Rosh Hashanah, the Beit Hamikdash, so they learn Mefirash v'sum secha. They learn with the trup. The Gemara says v'sum secha means the trup gives you a better understanding of what the pshat is in the pasuk. Supposed to get a better understanding of what pshat is in the truth. That's how they tell the Rabbi Yankee Kamenetsky and their others also. They understood Tanakh so well and they knew the secret of the trup so well. If you give them any part in Tanakh, they'd be able to figure out what the trup is for that part. Because they understood, if you know the pshat and the part is, and you know what the trup is supposed to represent, they'd be able to figure out what the trup is. There are a few people left in the world who know the secret of the trup. So you gotta know pshat and the truth also. In order to know what the trup is supposed to be on any given person. So we assume la'alocha that trup is their right. Just like you're not allowed to charge money for teaching the psukim, so you're not allowed to charge for teaching the trup either. But the Gemara has this mandam in the Gemara. One opinion in the Gemara is that the reason why the Malamed Tinoikis is allowed to charge chiris by the parent for teaching chumash is because it's chati sekadim. And the trup is only the rabbanim, so that's allowed to charge money for. Yeah, but this is only Nicha, if you're teaching little children, so you have the time that we accept Allah is that it's Chah Shimur,
that it's your babysitting. Muhammad is a babysitter, so that's he has to discipline them. He has a right to charge for that. According to the other opinion, we don't accept la halacha, it's a chatis and tanim, that you're charging for the truck. What if a person is teaching older children, older post high school, and there's no discipline problem? Let's say he doesn't discipline them, and he's not teaching any truck. And he's teaching all the din of their eyes. He's explaining all the psukkim chumash and teaching, so what's the heter to take any salary? So the Gemara says, in the end of Ksubis, the Gemara says that it's, Chabatola means that he doesn't take his salary for teaching the Torah. He says, I want to teach Torah for nothing, but I have to make a living. I'm going to have to go get a full-time job, so I won't have so much time to prepare the shiur. So if you want me to give a shiur, I'm not going to charge you for teaching Torah, but I have to ask you to pay me not to take a job. So if they pay him not to take a job, so then the Torah that he teaches, he can teach for nothing. So the, how do we get involved in this? I forgot. So the shot is like this. If a person has a job, let's say a guy's a garbage collector, or someone works in a school, a professor teaches French, or he teaches psychology, whatever. So there's no halacha that he's mechuyav to teach for nothing. He has a right to charge a salary. So whoever gets paid a salary, so there's no halacha, poel mechuyav l'avid b'chol kaychay. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Tzeiros, we learn that from Yankov Avinu. So Yankov says, Aten yidat ten, ki b'chol kaychay, avadat yidat avichem. He says, the more in the end of Bob Mitzir, the more learns that there's a difference between the Shamachinim and the Shamachinim. Shamachinim has to watch harder than the Shamachinim. Not just that the Shamachinim is chayv and g'nei v'avei, the Shamachinim is not chayv. But it means that the Shemesachar, the Nevaved is considered a Shia. Because the Shemesachar is to watch harder. That's how the Gemara says, why is Mechiv to watch harder? Because he's a poil, because he gets salary in order to watch. So if you salary thing, Mechiv, HaPoel Mechiv, Lav, is B'chol Kaiche, you have to work more conscientiously than if you just do Shemachim. So if, let's say, a person is a professor, he teaches secular studies, and he's entitled to get salary, and they get a salary, he agreed to the job to get that salary. So then halacha says, "Mechayev l'avid b'chol kaychay." What the mechayev, the Rebbe, to teach seriously? The Rebbe is not salaried. The Rebbe is teaching for nothing. They only pay him chabatolah. They pay him not to take on another job. He doesn't take on another job. That he does 100% emunah. He doesn't take on the other job. Fine. But then the question is, the teaching of Torah he does for nothing. That you can't have any kindness if he doesn't prepare. You may decide that it's not worth it to you. In the end of the year, you see that the Talmidim haven't learned enough. This guy did a good job of not taking on an outside job, but he didn't. That's what he's paid for, not to take out 100%. Good. He didn't take on an outside job. That he did fulfill 100%, didn't take an outside job. But what he's doing, the teaching of the Torah, he's not doing a good job. So at the end of the year, he may assess the situation. So it doesn't pay for the Hanhola of the Yeshiva, he may decide to drop him. But what to be mechayev the Rebbe to work conscientiously to prepare the shiur that he should say a good shiur? There's no halacha poel mechuyav l'avid b'chol kaychay. He does for nothing. The teaching of the Torah does for nothing. So that's what the Gemara Bava Basra digs up a different pasuk. It's not based on the din of poel mechuyav l'avid b'chol kaychay. It's the pasuk that Rashi is alluding to over here. The pasuk says Oros Malachas Hashem Remiyah. The Gemara quotes it in the second parak of Bava Basra. That pasuk in Mishnah. That the Gemara says that that when David HaMelech, when was it? When David HaMelech went to wipe out Amalek the first time around. He only killed the men, he didn't kill the women. The Gemara said, why did he only kill the men, not kill the women? Because the Malamed thought him wrong. Or the Malamed didn't hear that he heard it wrong. That he thought that Simcha Zech HaMalek only goes on the men, not on the women. And the Gemara says he wanted to go kill the Malamed later on because the Malamed was negligent, he wasn't conscientious enough to make sure that Talmidim got it straight when they were learning in Cheder that Simcha Zech HaMalek applied both to the men and to the women. So the Gemara quotes this pasuk, Orotim Alachas Hashem Remiyah. So that's what Rashi is alluding to over here also. Rashi says, Malamdi Tinoikai Shoyotim Alachas Remiyah. He's alluding to that pasuk. The pasuk says, Hashem Lo Koro. Ochli Ami Ochlo Lechem. The pasuk in Tilim says, when the nations of the world torture the Jews and they cause us to suffer, it's our fault because we sin. What's the sin? Hashem lo koro.
So the Gemara has a machlokes to Rabbi Shmuel. What is it alluding to? So the one pshat is Dayanim. The Dayanim are supposed to represent HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They are supposed to realize that the Shekhinah is different. And the King Yisrael Badaf Kel. It was Hashem Lo Koro. They weren't giving a din Torah based on the assumption that the Shekhinah is with them to help them prosper. And according to the other pshat, it refers to the Malam Tenai, because Malam Tenai is also the teaching Torah. They're supposed to realize that the Torah is a description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That and they're fooling around. The Malam Tenekas are Oysim Malachas Hashem Amir. They're not serious about it. The Gemara says this is what caused the chud. This is part of what caused the chud. The Mishnah says that you're not allowed to take schar not only for teaching Torah, and also schar lekadesh, to mix in the paraduma ashes with the water, and also schar lodun, and also schar lehoid, and also schar to do any mitzvah. Be mazir paraduma water. You're not allowed to take money to do any mitzvah. The original pasuk goes on teaching Torah. Money mechinim afata mechinim, but the Gemara extends it to all mitzvahs atzeh. Whenever there's a mitzvah that that you're mechuyev to do, you're not allowed to have Shabbos Aveda, the Gemara says. Shabbos Aveda. That's the famous in Yoredei. In the end of Yoredei, it says that the doctors are a doctor who knows medicine is obligated to heal the sick. He's in Shabbos Aveda. The Gemara says in earlier on Sanhedrin. That if I dropped a nickel, if I dropped a penny in the street, there's a fila shavas aveda and a shavas puta above, so shavas gufa lakoshken. It's the person's body if he's sick. I'm always talking if the fellow is lost in it. So there, if I want to treat enough, I'm entitled to charge money. But then, Fektakasha, how can the doctor take serious on the treating the nochem on Shabbos? That's what he's talking about. The doctor went, he sent a horse and a buggy. There was only one doctor in Fesburg, and happened to be a Prumi. So the Nachri farmer was sick, and he sent a horse and a buggy, and the doctor went to the Kum. And they were in the RRI, the doctor was in violation of Kumin, in order to treat the Nachri, what's the effort? So Chaim Tov works through the whole Shuva, that is not a problem. Says it's only the Rabbanan and the Tzeber, and it's a Sakana, they're gonna make a pogrom if you don't treat the Nachri. And then he discusses, and what about getting paid salary? Aye, what's this Kar Shabbos? He's talking because he's treating nothing. Treating nothing, you are allowed to charge money. But then Fektakasha says, he gives a yishuv on that. Why are you permitted to take salary for treating nothing on Shabbos? But if it would be talking about treating a yid on Shabbos, the chlalat's not a problem. That's not Kar Shabbos. You're not allowed to take any money for treating the yid. You have to do the chinam. So the money that they pay is the Shabbatola. That I didn't take a job all week long. Everybody has to share equally to pay for my not taking a job all week long. I can't ask the people who live, let's say, I'm a doctor, I live in Washington Heights, I'm a doctor. I can't ask the people in Flatbush, the people in Queens, why should they pay me not to take a job? What is they interested? But it's people in the neighborhood to whom I service, that's in their interest that I should not take a job all week long. That they have to pay me not to take a job, so I'll be able to be free all week long to treat them to chinam. The Noyik Shabbalim, that a doctor who doesn't take his Kabbatola. Right, so that's what the Gemara says, Magen Shabbos. We recommend it's better to go to a doctor who is relying on it, to his prognosis. Because if he just does it on the side, so then he may not be up to date. If he knows that his whole prognosis hinges on this, then he's going to be up to date. He's going to read all the latest publications, and he's going to know all the latest techniques and all the latest procedures, and he'll give the proper medical treatment. How come it's the same? The Dukasha. How can it be that you charge the same? A Yiddish Akumach doctor charges the same. So if he's treating a Nakri, treating a Yiddish. If he treats a Nakri, he has a right to charge. Treats a Yiddish, he's only Kabbatol. How does it turn out to be exactly the same? It's a Dukasha. Good. How can a Yiddish doctor, who most of his patients are Yidden, how can he take the same salary as a Nachi who treats Nachi? The Nachi has the right to charge money. He's not Mechuyev and Shavuot Avodah. And the Yid is only taking a Shkab HaTom and he does for nothing, he's supposed to take the same as a Malamed. Malamed is supposed to take the same salary as a doctor. So that's a good Dikasha. How does that turn out to be? How did the Yiddish from a doctor get the same salary as a Nachi doctor? A good Dikasha.
Yeah.
Then Shulchan Aruch, there is a din of Tzchah Shabbos, so there is a machlokes in the Shulchan Aruch. What about Tzchah Shabbos from Mokka Mitzvah? They say Bal Tekeya. All he does is Lo Shoyfa, Bal Kore, and he doesn't prepare in the weekdays. All he does is on Shabbos. Are you committed to take Tzchah Shabbos from Mokka Mitzvah? The Rashi says on the original Gemara, Tzchah Shabbos is in Lov Nitzi, in Perek Hazov. Anoko Tzchar, Lishmer Sapor, Lishmer Satina. So Rashi learned that it doesn't mean a babysitter. Rashi learns, Lishmer Sapor goes on Por Aduma. Lishmer Sazroim, these are the Zroim that we want to cut for the Oymer Shte Alechem. It's from Mokka Mitzvah. And Lishmer Satina got the Tinoikas who are being trained to do the Paraduma. So Rashi learns the whole Tosefta, that's the Tosefta in Bavmisi. So Rashi is quoting Bavmisi. I don't think it's a Tosefta in Bavmisi, but it's quoting Tosefta from a different Mesifta that's quoting in Masechus Bavmisi. So Rashi learns on the Tosefta, the whole Tosefta, all the three cases are all Bamacha Mitzvah, and it still says in the Tanaim, in the Tosefta, that Chash Shabbos is also, despite the fact that it's Bamacha Mitzvah, Lishmas Apara, Ishmael Satino, and Ishmael Sazrat, and everything is the Machan Mitzvah. It's all for Paraduma, or for the Oymer Shte Alechem. So we don't pass them like Rashi. In the Shulchan Aruch, they pass them whatever, it's the Machan Mitzvah, so then there's no, that's how Mishnah Gurus, so the meaning is Lahoto. And whenever it's the Machan Mitzvah, there's no Issa of Chash Shabbos. There's no Issa of Chash Shabbos. Yeah. Treat it as if the Yisus Chav Shabbos is like that you're not allowed to do secular activities on Shabbos. Even if anything that you do that you're getting paid money for, the fact that you're getting paid money, making a panasa from it, so that labels it as a secular activity. Because they're making a living is a secular thing. But if he's doing a Dvar Mitzvah, so that's a Mitzvah? This is a Mitzvah? Shaloba Makan is you're not allowed to take off, yeah. There's a problem on Mexico sometimes. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe the doctor should also be a problem on Mexico Kharshab, even though it's not actually Kharshab. Because the doctor doesn't get, he's not getting paid for the treatment he does for nothing, gets paid for not taking it. I don't know. Gotta look into that. Could be that. There wouldn't be a problem on that week. Could be. Okay. I mean, how is he allowed to get paid? Because money bechidim afata bechidim yes. If he goes specially to, if he lives in this community anyway, and he's going to learn anyway on Shabbos, and then he just straightens himself a little bit more, and tell me that's a problem. How is he allowed to take money? It's man in the chinam apart of the chinam. He's not allowed to charge money for teaching Torah, for performing any mitzvah. So to make him schlep out to go to a different community is a little bit out of his way. And for that, he does have a right there to pay. Just have the shayla of Tzar Shabbos. How do you laugh at it? You assume Tzar Shabbos is not a mitzvah, isn't it? What? There is such a din, Tzchar Shabbos Pavlo is Mutti, yeah, but you don't need it over here. Even if all the preparation is done on Shabbos, if it's from Mokka Mitzvah, then it's Tzchar Shabbos Mutti. Let's say about Kurri. He doesn't prepare a stitch of work on Chol. He does all,
So all Achanah prepares on Friday night. I used to have a chavrus, he knew all the trot by heart. And he was a balkar, he used to lay him over the whole parsha on his way walking to shul on Shabbos morning. And then I once walked with him. He was saying over the whole, that was his whole Achanah. He was saying over the whole Seder on his way to shul. There was no hablot. So the din is a strictly speaking. Chash Shabbos is mutter, the Macha Mitzvah. The Macha Mitzvah is mutter. Then this Gemara we discussed already last week. Who were the ones who made this determination? Who's not going to get oil of my blood? How did they know? HaKodesh, yeah. Then they wanted to add Shlomo HaMelech. The Bakko came out and said, take it easy. I don't want Shlomo HaMelech to be on the list. They were going to determine that Shlomo HaMelech is going to get oil of Then the Muslim David appeared, and then nothing is the halt. And then the Bakko came out and said, wait a minute, this is my decision, not yours. We have no right to put Shlomo HaMelech on the list. We discussed that last week. And the other Tana disagrees. The Gemara says three lines on the bottom. Those Rishonim disagree. They hold that that all of these people have oil of Abba, and they quote the Pesukim in Tehillim, Kapitul Sama. Machloek is Satanayim. Whether is there such a thing as these people not having a chel of oil of Abba? The Gemara has in Kufayim et Aleph. The Gemara quotes from the Novi is giving a drasha to the Bnei Yisrael. They should do tshuva. We just discussed the Gemara a little bit. They even say to creatures, yeah. Then Bnei Yisrael, when the Novi is complaining to Bnei Yisrael, do tshuva, the Bnei Yisrael say, we can't control our Yisahara. The Bnei Yisrael says, the Novi says, in the name of Bnei, what do you mean you can't control? You have to feel conscious. Control yourself. Do tshuva, control your Yisahara. So the Gemara finally says, it's right towards the end of the narrow lines on Kufayim et Aleph. So the Gemara says, Amar Abba Babachan, Amar Lahem Novi Yisrael, Chizru B'tshuva. Novi tells, the Gemara is quoting all these Nadim, Yirmiyah, Zechariah, Mishai, they're always telling the Nadim, so do tshuva. So they say, Eren Yechadav, Yetzahar Shalat Bonav, we can't control the Yetzahar. Amar Lahem, so the Novi tells them, Yisru Yitzrechet, Yatzir Chavshus, control yourself. Alhamdulillah, it's a day he taught back this pasuk in Yeshaya. Alhamdulillah, Elokav Yoreinu. The Rebbeinu Shlom has to teach us, he has to train us how to control the Yetzirah. We can't control on our own. So the Gemara says that was an acceptable response that Bnei Yisrael said. We need a Siyaita Dishmaita to learn how to control the Yetzirah. That's how the Gemara says in Sukkah that the Yetzirah Shalom is Gabarada B'chol Yom. Misgabar Allah B'chol Yom. Yetzirah becomes stronger every day, figures out a new kun. Yesterday we knew how to control the Yetzirah, but today is going to be a new chachma that Yetzirah is going to have. So, Mali HaKodesh Baruch Hu Israel, Yetzirah. We don't have a Siyaita Dishmaya, we won't succeed in controlling the Yetzirah. Fine, people have to do a chashid, but it's still very difficult. You have to have Elokav Yoreinu. So the Baruch Shalom has to show us the way, has to teach us how to control the Yetzirah. Okay, now he was going back to the Mishnah again. The Mishnah said that there were three machlokes haTorah. The Mishnah says there were three malachim and four non-malachim from Tanakh. There were more, but there are three malachim from Tanakh and the four non-malachim had yoytes who are not going to get a chelek in olam haba. And the three malachim, who were they? There was Menashe, was a machlokes haTorah in the Mishnah, and Achav, and Yerov ben Nevot. And the four head yaitas, the Gemara lists off on Kufayim and Aleph, Abdullah Zoygachi Taifun and Gechazi. So the Gemara goes into dissertation about each one of these four characters. Like before, they were talking a lot about Menashe, about Yerovim, about Achav, about each one, Derech Agav. And now they go also about Dilum, different things about Dilum, what a Tayyar Takshati was. He did this out there, did that out there, yeah. Mishka Behem, you violated Mishka Behem? Dilum is not Jewish, but Mishka Behem is from the seven Mitzvahs of Binyanayim. So the Gemara affects Akasha. Do any nothing have Olam Haba? Why do we single out Dilum? Is if we apply Dilum, we're going to lose Olam Haba, but the other nothing are going to have. So the Gemara quotes the Machlokes HaTanoim. Machlokes, the Gemara quotes the Tosefta. It says over here, Tosefta Perek Yudgimel. By the fourth line and the wide line. So the Gemara quotes the Pasuk from Tilum. Yeshua Rishayim, the Shoyla, Kogayim Shechel Lehid. What does it mean? Yeshuva Rishayim Lushaylo, Allah Rishayim Zalm, and Gain Gehenim, that refers to Eva Koshi Yisrael, Yiddish Rishayim. Kol Gan Shechelim, Kol Gan, all the Yomathon, all the Nachim are going to go to Gehenim. They have no Shaykhs in Alam Abba. That's a blazer. Blazer was shot. Divya Blazer. Rabbi Shua says, no, it doesn't say that in the Pasuk. Kol Gan Shechi Elohim. Those who don't believe in the Rabbi Shalom, they're going to go to Gehenim. If you have a Nachim, who do believe in the Rabbi Shalom, they have not forgotten about him, so they're not going to go to Gehenim. The Umar says, the Mishnah obviously is following the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua, that we don't right away write off all the Yomim that we're all going to go to Gehenim. Only those who are Shechi Elohim, those who are not, are going to go to Olam Habo. We'll have that this, some Olam Habo. So Bilam is singled out from all the Nachim, that he's not going to have Olam Habo. Then Umar has famous Agaritas. It's a pasuk that says, "Vayochel zikne moyav v'zikne nidyon." So the Umar says they never got along. They were always waging wars against each other. Now all of a sudden, when it comes to the Eden, they made shalom. The Umar says, "Yeah, because they realized that they're not going to join together. They thought the Eden would be wiped out one of them and then wipe out the other one. So they thought that the Eden were not interested in wiping anybody out. They just wanted to go there and see shalom. They wanted to wipe out all the Yomathon." But that's what they were petrified. So that's why they made peace and they joined together. Then Umar has about Lina Pahalaila. That Bilam said Lina Pahalaila, so the Zikne, it says, Vayesh was Sari Moyav in Pahalaila. What happened to the Sari Nidyon? He just said that they made peace and they both came together. So how come it only says that they stayed over, the others apparently disappeared? Hey, who knows where they go? So the Umar says, once he said Lina Pahalaila, so they realized this is a fake. What? The Baruch Shalom is gonna, the Baruch Shalom is the father of the Klal Yisrael. We are Baruch Lamach and Kumi Eshav Shetani as the no. The Baruch Shalom is going to give permission to Bilam to curse the Jewish people. Of course not. It's ridiculous. What kind of lina for halayla? Nothing is going to come out of this. So they look. Then, well, there's Vaiter. I got to say for that. Bilam. The Gemara says that even though he was a Navi, but he was quite a mushkas, he practiced Mishnah Behema, and he used to do other things. The last line, Gemara has one opinion, Koisin Va'amotu Hayyot. And Zeba Hazakos, he used to use some kind of kishuv, maladisku, all kinds of crazy things. There's no spirit. A person can be Havs and Devur, and he can be a mushkas of the highest level. The Gemara has the famous comment of the Yadea Da'aselyam on the top of Kufan Uday. Everybody knows this, and Mark Brock is on time. What do you mean the Yadea Da'aselyam? He didn't even know how to guess what his Behema was going to say. If he couldn't even predict what his Behema was going to say, because the Behema responded to him, So he didn't think that the Osam was going to blurt out the truth. I've changed his country, that he practiced Mishka Behema with the Behema. So if he couldn't figure out what the Behema is going to respond, how is he going to know what the Rabbani Shalom is going to say? What do you mean? The Yadea Da'aselyam, what kind of baloney is that? I says, no, the Pasuk says, Kel Zoyim B'chol Yoyim, Rabbani Shalom gets angry every day. And how much every day does he get angry? What percentage of the day? Kerega B'yapoy, just Kerega, just a split second. Umar says in Brochus, how long is this split second? The Gemara says, the amount of time that it takes to pronounce the word, Rega. The Gemara says, Rega, Kinem Re. The Rega Biapa, how long is that Rega? Kinem Re, the amount of time that it takes to pronounce the word. So Bilam's expertise was, he was able to figure out exactly when that Rega was, and it took this time, from the time that he started negotiating, Bilam started negotiating with the Tzorei Midyan, till the Bnei Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael, the whole time that the Baruch Shalom did not get angry at all. That's the Gemara quote from Micha. Ami Zuchar Nama Yod Golok Melech Moyot. Keep in mind, remember what Golok tried to do, what Bilam tried to do. The Mandat Tzitzkes Hashem. What's the Mandat Tzitzkes Hashem? You should realize how much the Baruch Shalom loves you, that he wasn't in Kaas the whole time. From the beginning of the incident with Bilam till he entered Eretz Yisrael, the Baruch Shalom was not as kaas as he would have been kaish, and all the kaas people, those my yomim, they would have been wiped out. That's what the Tzitzis there in Brochus, the famous kasha, and I'm dying. They said, what can you say already in one split second? How much can you curse already in one split second? So Tyson says one answer, he could say Kalein. He could look at the name and say Kalein. Then he have another answer, that as long as he begins the Klala, as long as he starts the Klala, within that split second, he can continue to finish the Klala even later. That's what some parts can write, that you see from that Tyson, and whenever this is man, that needed for something, we have his man Kriyasma, we have his man Kriyasma, you don't have to finish the whole Kriyasma within his man, you don't have to finish the Shmaes within his man. As long as it begins within his mind, that's good. So someone once told the Sovereign to Rav Soloveitchik, so he thought that it was a joke. See, he didn't make any comment, he just burst out until after. He said, what kind of a riot is that? But if you are trying to bring that right, you are a shulchan. You are just bring that right. From the text, whenever there's his mind, then his mind is just on the beginning of what you do. It doesn't have to go on the whole. So that's what the Gemara says. When is that split second? The Gemara says, Eimach Rosach, when is that split second? The split second that the Rambam gets angry is always in the first 3 hours of the day when the people wake up and they're bowing down to the sun. The sun is beginning to rise. Or the Gemara says there that the king, the name will often wake up to Shor Shlishis, they sleep late in the morning, they're the last ones to get out of bed, so they put on the crown and the big day Malchus, and then they bow down to the sun. So the Baruch Shalom gets very angry about that. With all of this Malchus, they bow down to the sun, they don't realize that I'm the creator of the world. So the Gemara says that's when the Baruch Shalom gets angry. And the Gemara says that one of the Amorim, Rabbi Shlomo Levi, had a lot of Agnes Nefesh from an Apikur, from a Nin. A Nin means one of the Christians. One of the Christians, an Apikur, gave him a hard time. So he didn't know how to become Fatah from him. So he wanted to curse the Apikur. He wanted to do the same Kafna that Bilam did. Bilam was your dad that tells him. He knew how to figure out when the sixth second is when the Baruch Hashem gets angry. If Shemalev didn't have this knowledge that Bilam had, but he knew that if you look at the rooster, what is it, the cock on top of the rooster, so when it turns totally white and you don't even see any red streaks at all, so that's the second that the Ribbono Shel Olam is in cock. So he tied a rooster to his bed. He's going to sit and watch the whole time, and when it's going to turn white, then he's going to curse his nin that he should drop dead. And then pum ten, kimatu hu shaita nin then. Kima has in the first white light. The same story in brothers. He fell asleep. Fell asleep and he missed it. He's going to have to do the same shtick tomorrow morning to wait for this split second. So Shmamino, he understood on his own, it's not their heritage. Even though the nin is giving him a hard time, gave him a lot of agmas nefesh, it's not a good idea because the pasuk initially says, "Gamanosh latzadik loto." It's not proper that someone should be nenosh because of the tzadik. The tzadik should be in the spout. Unless the mamish kol kol akitzen, you should suffer a little bit more with the epikur. You shouldn't curse. Okay, the Baruch Hashem will do it. The Baruch Hashem will do it, but it's not right that we should do it. It's not proper that we should give the Klala. Then the Gemara talks about the fact that the Bilam Harasha brought karbonas. These karbonas were not really l'shem shamayim. It was really he wanted to butter up the Ribbono Shel Olam that he should give Rishus to be mekalel b'nei Yisrael. But sof kol sof, he did bring the karbonas. This is the b'china of liyolam yachad karam b'tar mitzvah, kafilu shelo lishma, and you tell shelo lishma, bo lishma. First, you should always do mitzvah, even shelo lishma. Why? Because as a reward for the 42 karbonas, Rashi didn't get a chesed, had a witness to say there were 42 karbonas, because there were 3 times that he brought 14 karbonas. Each time he brought shiva korim and shiva tevim. So he brought 14 karbonas on 3 different occasions, adds up to 42. So the 42 karbonas that Balak, Melech Maya brought, were not so much at all the shem shamayim, and nonetheless he was rewarded the Yatin and Manarus. And Rus HaMayavir was a descendant from Balak Melech Maya. This is a problem because the Taisus and Stoch and Rashi and Taisus and Githam and Sifti, they bothered with the spirit. This Gemara says, the Yolam Yatsan Tavis Afiru Shalodashma, nothing terrible about it. The other Gemara says, whoever learns Tavis Shalodashma, Noyach Lo, would have been preferable, Ilanepcha Shayota Alpana. That's when he was in state of an embryo, he should have been aborted, he should have died before he was born, because one learns Torah Shalom Lishma is the worst thing you can have.
since the Chatzila, one Gemara says that it's not so bad at all. We recommend that Liyoymah. That's why Chaim Volozhiner says Liyoymah. Even for adults, not only for little children, you promise them to give them a candy, or give them some money, whatever, you're going to give them covered. Even for adults also, we recommend you should do Tera Mitzvah Shalom Lishma. They tell Shalom Lishma, Bozma, it's not so bad. The other Gemara says that it's terrible. The Rashi and Taisha say there are two different madrigas of Shalom Lishma. If the person wants to come there, if he wants to become a Tamachach, and he wants people to give him cover, he wants to make a fine art, that's one level of Shalom Lishma. That's not really proper. But that's not, the world doesn't come to an end. He tells Shalom Lishma, Bozma, it's not so bad. We can even recommend that people should do it. But if he's learning Torah in order to show up the others, that they don't know, that he's the only one who knows and the others don't know, that's terrible. So that's the problem over here. That all the 42 karbonis that Volok brought, the 42 karbonis that he sponsored, that was Mamish Lakante. He wanted to wipe out the Klal Yisrael, he wanted to butter up the Ribbono Shel Olam with his ephod. So he's going to butter up the Ribbono Shel Olam by bringing his karbonis, and the Ribbono Shel Olam will agree to punish the Bnei Yisrael. But Mamash Lekantas, how can I quote the memory of Liolam Yafzan Matar Mitzvah Shalom Lishma? Problematic. Problematic. And it still has a different suggestion. It has a different theory. Rashi and Taisi gave that answer. The difference between the two different kinds of Shalom Lishma. And it still has in all of his form, he has his own theory. He says it depends if you're learning Vasa Shteit or you're saying Shidushin. And this is thought that depends. Are you doing a mitzvah that you have to do? You have to wear a talit, you have to dam, you have to say Krishna. So you're doing a shalom lishma. You're learning what's a state, so you're doing a shalom lishma. That's one thing. But if you're founding a shul, you're starting a new yeshiva, you're writing a sefer, you're saying a chiddush, you're saying an original shtikul Torah, so that has to be purely lishma. Whenever it's an original, whenever it's a chiddush, it has to be lishma. If he interprets all of them, he fits in all of the gemaras like that. He thinks that that's the issue to the stealing and tigma. He has it in his tshuvas and his various parts, his suggestion. Then the Gemara has a discussion, an interesting discussion. In the beginning of Sefer Malachim, it says that when they were blessing David HaMelech, David HaMelech said they should go appoint Shlomo HaMelech as the new king. So they gave a bracha for Shlomo HaMelech. Yitav HaLekim Hashem Shlomo Mishimcha. Your son should shtaygiver. Your son Shlomo HaMelech should be greater than you. Yigdal Kisa Mikisacha. The Ribbono Shel Olam should make his kingdom greater than your kingdom. That's a heresy. That Shlomo HaMelech is still alive, and he gives a bracha that he should be greater. So the Gemara suggests. So yeah, Bakol Adam is kind of good and another Talmudai. You know, Mishlaima? Yeah, David HaMelech would be very happy. Normal fathers are very happy when their children shtai give their fathers. They're very happy to brag about the fact that their children are greater than they are. They know how to learn better, they're more Yirei Shamayim, the mom is active in the midst. Some normal parents are happy about that. Sometimes a person is not happy that him and his Mishkin Mensch. Bakol Adam is a Mensch. Bakol Adam is a Mishkin Mensch. Then the Mishkin is on children. So the Gemara says perhaps the answer is Bakol Adam Mishkan, so it's from the night. That's the answer. Originally the Gemara gave a different suggestion. The Gemara said maybe it means the aim for Amrolai. That when they said to David HaMelech, Yitav HaLekim Hashem Shlomo Mishimcha, Mishimcha means on the aim. The popularity that you had and the great kingdom that you had, your son Shlomo should have a mitzvah of that. That's how the Gemara gave the suggestion. And they said, perhaps that's the pshat and the other pasuk also, in Shira's Devarim when she says, Yoyal Esh is Chevra Kein Yitzil Tisra. So, Devarim said in her poem, in Shira's Devarim, Tavarach Ninoshim, Yoyal Esh is Chevra Kein Yitzil. Ninoshim Ba'oihal Tavarim. Who are the Noshim Ba'oihal? So the Gemara says, Noshim Ba'oihal, who is that? Manin Otor Rizka Rach Valeya. And now she quotes the Tzukim and says, by each one of them, the word Ohel, so it says the expression Ohel both on Yitzchak and on Sora. Vayidiyahu Yitzchak Ohel Sora Yitzchak goes on both. And then he named Ohel. And it says by all four of the Emorahs. So how do you translate the word Tavarach Minoshon? Minoshon Bohel Tavarach. Yoel Eishet Tevra Keni deserves a greater bracha
a greater Yashitayat than all of the Gemara. That's what it means. Me, Noshim, greater than the Gemara. The Gemara thought, no, the Mem doesn't mean me, it means Mayim. Part of the covet that they give, the reverence that we give to the Dalai Lama, we should give part of that to Yoyal, but not to give more. So maybe over here the word Mem, Yitabalakim Shem Shlama, Mishimcha, Yigadalakisa, Mikisacha, Mikisacha doesn't mean you should be greater than you. You should have a Mayim of the covet. So that's the first suggestion the Gemara has. Then the Gemara gave the second suggestion, no, I called on the Kana, Kutzmi, and all. The father, David HaMelech, would be very happy if this would be Mekuyim, that his son Shlomo should Shtaygiver, his Malchus should be greater than his. And then the Gemara says, how do you know Talmidai? I call them kind of Kutzmi Talmidai. The Gemara gives two suggestions. One suggestion is that Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded to put the Maftes Yotkalov and it says the Yitzmachas Yotkalov. He was only commanded to put one hand and he gives the Smicha Diyad to Yeshua. And then he gave both hands. So I am telling you, he gave more than the Rebbe Shlomo commanded him. Why? Because he was a Talmud of Moshe Rabbeinu. And he's not Mitzaneh. Moshe Rabbeinu would be very happy to give him the Yayin Toivah. That's one suggestion. And the Gemara gave the other suggestion from Elisha. Elisha requested of Eliyahu HaNavi, he requested of Eliyahu HaNavi that he should have twice the Koyach HaNavua that Eliyahu HaNavi had. What kind of a chutzpah is that to ask of Eliyahu HaNavi twice the Koyach HaNavua? So you see, the answer is that he was a close Talmud of Eliyahu HaNavi. By calling him a Talmud, he wouldn't feel insulted if his Talmud Elisha would get twice the Koyach HaNavua. That's how the Chazal understood the pasuk. Tishnai means twice. We mentioned on different occasions that the conservative movement, they have a whole sugar, halacha, an answer stuck, that you have a right to change all the laws of the Torah, just like Hillel changed with the football. Everybody has a right to change. But part of the whole story is that the rabbis changed the Tishnai. That originally the din of Tishnayim, what does it mean? Elisha Navi is asking for twice the Koyach HaNavua, Eliyahu HaNavi. That's absurd. The Gemara says that's absurd. So they say, no, Tishnai means two-thirds. So the Korget Tishnai means if a man dies and he leaves 10 sons, the Korget two-thirds. And the rabbis in the late years realized that's absurd. How can you give the Kor two-thirds? He's just going to divide one-third again with the other 9 sons? It can't be. So they decided to change it in the later generation. They said Tishnai means you treat him as if he were 2 sons. So if a man dies and he leaves 10 sons and one is a Kor, you treat him as if he had 11 sons. And the Kor is two, gets 2 11. Instead of getting 1 10, because there are 10 sons, and each one should get 1 10, you treat the Kor as if he was 2 sons, and as if you have 11 portions, you get 2 11. So they say that was a later enactment. The rabbi changed it. The imam is no shred of evidence what the imam is from thin air. He's a politician. They invented this whole idea from thin air, that Tishnayim, the true pshat in Tishnayim is 2/3, and the rabbis in the later generations changed the whole pshat. They did abundance. So you see that they can change. Even if it were true that they changed, it is Dini Mamanis. The Gemara says in Dini Mamanis, you can change whatever you want to the Hefka does not Hefka. What's the problem? But Yishad, how can you change it into the Hefka? And talk lack of the Kumi Hefka. The whole thing is a late son. And, but the Gemara has in quite a few places. Yir Tishnayim is to be taken literally. The Elisha Navi had twice the Koyach HaNavua of Eliyahu HaNavi. The Gemara says earlier in the Mesichta, where do you see that he had twice the Koyach HaNavua? Eliyahu HaNavi was on Mechaya one day, and Elisha was Mechaya two Mason. The Gemara goes into a whole dissertation, a whole discussion. Who were the two Mason, and what happened exactly? So the Gemara here wrote on this, and Tishnayim doesn't mean 2/3. It means twice the Koyach HaNavua. I don't know. Then the Gemara talks about all the brachas that Bilam HaRoshi gave to Klal Yisrael. The one brachas also has. He really intended to give klolas. And by Yapach Hashem Mechol HaKlola LeBracha, the Rebbe Shlom controlled him, as it says, Vayosem Hashem, how does the pasuk say? Vayosem Dova V'Tzvi Bilam. The Rebbe Shlom controlled him, he didn't let him say what he wanted to say. He wanted to give all klolas, but Hashem didn't let him, so everything turned out to be a bracha. And the Gemara says, and most of the brachas that he gave weren't mekuyim. Vayachar Hashem alakech l'choeh taklola lebracha, one klola was converted into a bracha, and that bracha lasted the Yom HaVoy. That he wanted to give a klola, we should not be successful in establishing what the Kinesias of Batim is Russia. So Vayachar Hashem l'choeh taklola lebracha, he said, Matovu alecha yankiv, alecha goes on a holy but the Midrash says, but the Ethnesias, so that bracha was Mekuyimli on board. And every corner there's another Beis Medrash and another Yeshiva looking flat book. That bracha was Mekuyimli throughout all the generations. But all the other brachas that Bilam gave were not Mekuyimli once because he really didn't want to give brachas. He didn't want to give flowers. Then the Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Mishle, three lines on the bottom. Ne'amanim titzei ohei, the Netaris Meshika Seine. When a good friend gives a tachacha, it's better when you get mutter from a dear friend than when you get a kiss from a person who's a seinen. That achi ashi lo nigivan ayid, and he meant to say about seinu, and here it's heggy get maklole, and the Gemara quotes the last line. Yika shemei tisok kashi yonah hakona ba ma'in, he gave a klole to the klole girl, so it turned out the klole that he gave was really a brother. Because the kona grows in water, and it's always yizovachlish, and everything turned out for seinu. And the Natoris Meshika Soinai, the kisses that the Soinai gave, Bilam was really a Soinai. He hated the evening. He really wanted to give Klolus. The Rabbi Shalom controlled him. Yasam Hashem Dovah B'Tiyah Bilam. He made everything come out to be a bracha, but the bracha from Nishbitai. Even though it came out of bracha, it didn't work well. The Migamori says, when Bilam was looking around to see, he's giving his Nebuah, the 10 lines on the top of Kuvam and Al. So the Migamori says, Vayavet HaKeni. And he says, Esam Moshevecho. So Rashi explains to Migamori, Esam Moshevecho. How did all of a sudden Keni, the descendants from Israel, it says, Keni, Chayse Moshe. Keni, Chayse Moshe, that was Israel. How did they get Esa Moshevecha? How did they're on the top of everything? The descendants from Yisrael, they're sitting in their Bez Nagodol, in the Lishkas Advazis, and they're making Kiddush HaChodesh and Yibra HaShana. Look what's going on over here. How were they zeched to all of this? You might quote the Pasuk in Divrei Hayomim, that B'nei Keni, Yoshe Lishkas Advazis, Yoshe Yavetz and so on. How were they zeched to all of this? We were all together with Paro, and Paro wanted to make the Xeris. The Gemara quotes, Shlosha Hoy Biyota Esa. Abraham Bilam Yield and Yisra, they were all consulted when Paro was interested in killing the Jews. So Bilam was punished, and Yisra made it so big. What happened over here? We were all involved in the same thing. Gemara says, yeah, we're all involved, but they gave different Esas. Bilam Shiyoati gave an Esa, he was Matkin with Paro. He said, oh, you want to kill all the Jews? So Matkin, go kill all the Jews. Even though he was not really keen about it, but that's what he said to Paro. He said under duress, kill all the Jews. So that's what he was punished. He was Neharach. And then Yisro ran away. Yisro was Barach. He didn't want to be masked under duress. He ran away not to be involved at all. So Zohar b'nei Bonim, Leishet Mishka Sagos, Sadi Gemara. The Gemara has the famous Agarata. What was the suggestion that Bilam gave? He says, "Hinei nehoylech liyami lechol yot kaita shiata ham azel liyamcha." He didn't really mean shiata ham liyamcha. He meant, "I'll give you an advice what you should do to the Jewish people. How can you wipe out the Jewish people?" So he told Balak, Melech Moav, "Elokim shaleilu seinizimahu." The God of the Jewish people can't stand priests. All you have to do is make priests in the Baruchom of Din Mitalat Shinosay. In Israel, the prophet says, in the Jewish army, Hashem alakech mitalech b'kerem machanech alati lecha, alot yisayzecha b'yodecha, that says, v'liyur b'cha eva zova v'shov mi'aharecha, if the Baruch Shalom will see preaches, if he'll see eva zova, he'll be mitalech shkinasai. So that's what Bilam suggests. Elakem shalem v'sein is, you know, to get the Jews involved in Znut, and the Baruch Shalom will be mitalech shkinasai. How you gonna get them involved in Znut, but then miser on that? This is it, but the Yidna are very makbet and quite hard. They like to wear nice clothes. They want to look like a mensch, they don't want to look sloppy. So he says, Zehen is Sabbath and Kletishna. The Yidna like to dress properly. So open up stores. So they open up stores all over the place, on the whole border. So the Yidna were in contact with Merv, they had stores. So they were selling clothing. So they had an old witch, Amir's the ugly looking witch outside, selling the clothing. And then he even passed by and he said, how much does it sell for? So she said, $100 a suit. So there's a woman and it had a good looking chick inside. So she said, I'll sell you the same suit for $95. So the one outside says, okay, I'll sell it to you for $90. So the one inside said, I'll sell it to you for $85. It went on two or three times.
until the guy finally hears. The one inside is offering the same good merchandise for less money. So the Eden always want to bargain. That's for sure. Why should I pay $100 and get the same thing for $85? They keep on bargaining down the high. He goes inside and he finds the good-looking chicks inside. The whole thing was a gimmick in order to get them to see the pretty zoyne inside. Then the pretty zoyne says, look at all the merchandise, have a seat, look whatever you want, I'll give you everything on sale. And then she says, look, you're a good customer, I see you're interested in buying, have a drink. And they gave the wine, and the Gemara has the lush in the first white line, but dine line, that's a yayin shonachem. And the prohibition against drinking in Sam Yena wasn't yet introduced. So then they would drink the wine, and the wine was very powerful, and then he would have a yetzer hara. And then he wanted to be mezana with the zayna, and then she said only to worship Avodah Zarah. That's how they got them involved in worshiping the Avodah Zarah on that occasion. On this Gemara, there's a very strange, a famous machlokes, the Rambam and the Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvot. The Rambam quotes this Gemara to demonstrate the Rambam holds that Sam Yena is a gzera derabbanan, but Yayin Nesach is an issa deraisa. So he quotes the pasuk Yishtu Yena Sichon. Yishtayen Sicham is a description of the Avodah Zarah guzzling down the wine. It's not a description of the Jew drinking the wine that was not the Avodah Zarah. It's a problematic Rambam. So the Rambam holds that the Rambam has it in Mitzvah on this, and he repeats it in the Mishnah Torah. He says that's an Issa deraisa to drink Yayin Nesach. So the Rambam says that that's what the story means over here. But Dain Lanessa Yayin Shal Nachrin, on the first very wide line on Kufav and Nalas, he says, Yayin Shal Nachem means Yayin Nesa, and it's not a Chlava Rizor. What do you mean by Dain Lai Nesa? He says, the mitzvahs weren't given all at Har Sinai, all in one second. It took 40 years for Moshe Rabbeinu said over all the dinim. He didn't calculate everything the same day. So this din that you're not allowed to drink Yishti Yayin Sicham was only said to Moshe Rabbeinu, only told it to Bnei Yisrael at a later time. That's how the Rambam translates this Gemara. And the Ramban says, what are you talking about? Moshe Rabbeinu says, he had all the 630 mitzvahs. Of course, he told them right away. What, you got to wait till the end of the 40 years to tell him again that you're not allowed to drink Yayin Nesach? No, the Ramban says, Adayin Lanesach, Yayin Shonach, he goes on Stam Yayinam. The Rabbanon. And the Ramban says, Yayin Nesach is also only the Rabbanon. There is no Issa Deraisa. He says he's a drinking Yayin Nesach, and it's not so far that he's on Stam Yayinam. Stam Yayinam, they asked Bahanoah, Samyena they asked because of chasnus, and it may lead to intermarriage. The same reason why they asked bisholatim, the same reason why they asked pasatim. But pasatim bisholatim is only also bishtir. Mutabano, why did they ask Samyena bano? Because of the chashash, maybe they were menatachet. But the Ramban holds that the whole din, if they're menatachet, it's also bashtir bano, the whole thing is only with the Rabbanon. Everything is with the Rabbanon. So the Ramban says, the Gemara means, vadai lenesa yayin shalach, the chachamim still didn't introduce Xer the Rabbanon of Sam Yainam. They didn't introduce the Xer the Rabbanon of Yayin Nesach. Everything is only with the Rabbanon. He denies that there is such a din. The writer that it's also to drink Yayin Nesach. So the Rambam, I don't understand why, the Rambam in the Sefer Mitzvah says, that's what it means in the Gemara. Dain Lai Nesach, Yayin Shonachrim, Moshe Rabbeinu, it was already given a Har Sinai to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't tell it over to Bnei Yisrael yet. How does it fit into the words? I don't understand how it fits into the words question. The Gemara has a machlokes amaroyim. Vayeshev Yisrael b'shitim. Shitim is the name of the place. Machlokes Rav Lezer and Yeshua. Rav Lezer says that's the name of the city, Shitim. And Rav Yeshua says, no, that's a nickname. That they did mash in the Saskia b'dei v'shtur. And similarly, there's a machlokes v'refidim. When Amalek came to Refidim, the Rav Lezer says that Refidim is the name of the city. Because there's no Shirof Ratzma Medivei Torah. Refidim doesn't mean, it's not the name of the city, it's a nickname. Shirof Ratzma Medivei Torah. Then the Gemara quotes on the top of Kuvav and Beis, and one quotes the Prophet in Tehillim. Anshi Damim Mimim Lo Yachti Yemein. Ani Yachtach Bof. Prophet in Tehillim. What do you mean Lo Yachti Yemein? So the pasuk says in Tehillim, "Yineishin etzein behem shivim shana." That the average life of the person is 7 years. That's al pidin. So we have halacha. Let's say, when does a person become a bar mitzvah, bat mitzvah? When you have yud shana v'yamef, and yud gimel shana v'yamef, which stay tired. What if the person never has the stay tired? So he remains a cotton for the rest of his life. So amir yesh shana is a cotton. So the halacha says in Nidin, he must not be here, the Rosh Naisav, once he's over the hill, he's already passed halfway through his life, so here the Rosh Naisav becomes an honorary bani, it becomes a godu. So when is that? That's 35. Because Shnois, a nation in Sayyidina Baham Shiv Yishara, that's a halachic statement, that the average life of a person, it doesn't matter, even though medicine has advanced and people live much longer, the halacha still says that he gil the Rosh Naisav is when he enters into the 36th year, when he's past 35 years. The deal is that when a woman does chalitza, chalitza's kana is not good. The chalitza has to be, she has to be a gedolah. So what is going to be voided to see if she has shtei sarim? Maybe the reason why she didn't have any children is because she's a tana. So how do you know that any woman is able to do chalitza? So it depends who. So unfortunately now in Eretz they have young almonas. Their husbands are killed in the army. They're 18, 19, 20 years old. They have young almonas who are having chalitza. Usually a woman has chalitza, she's 85 years old. She was married for 60 years and never had any children. So you look at the woman, you see, obviously she's over 35. So, so usually when you have a chalitza, so the Nesara chalitza has to tell all the people that the woman is a gedolah. So I remember on one occasion my father was doing a chalitza. So he said in Yiddish, he didn't want to hurt the woman's feelings. So he said in Yiddish, all the Talmidim in the base medrash, that the woman is obviously over 35, so we don't have to be bloody to stay satisfied. So the deal, the Rosh Naisa, there's a girl. At least the time is not good. So the Gemara quotes this person. Ashi Domin Mimimimimimimim Yachdime. So the Gemara says that Dilam, based on this, the Gemara says Dilam must have died before the age of 35. La Yachdime Yimim. They won't live till Rosh Naisa. So the Gemara says, yeah. They found Pinchas, they found a historical document that says that Dilam died at the age of 33. And the Gemara quotes the same passage later on the Daf, right there the same thing. That Zoyagin Achitayfel, here, four lines from the bottom. Zoyagin Achitayfel also died at the age of 33, 34, based on the same passage. Loyachzime, it's not Shayat, they cannot live till Rosh Naisa. They're gonna die before the end of the day. Must have lived over 210 years, that's what Rashi, yes, but Rashi said that's a different opinion. Right? Rashi says that the one who said it on an alpha, if he was involved in the original later, that was the beginning of the 210 years of the Shiva was right. Wow, so he says that opinion is that he lived centuries long. And this Amara here says that he died before the age of 35. Isaac Kashi, you find many Rishonim die, live past 35. But tell her, how does the Gemara know that the person is applied to the problem? In this big Sedra in Parshas Va'era, the Rabbi of Salvation has a very interesting comment. Of course it says, Ve'ena Saticha Elohim Lefara, Va'aron Achicha Yihiyah Nevi'echo. The Rashi comments on Elohim Loshim Dayan Shefei, that Moshe Rabbeinu is a judge to paskin the oinish that the Mitzrayim deserve. That the Tosefta says that the Esa Makir was spread out over Yud Beis Chodesh. Everyone, there were 3 weeks of Hasura and then finally